Welcome to Ape TV. I'm your host, B Ridiculous, and I'm joined for a special occasion here. We got a co-founder of Ape Swap, Apetastic, in the house with us. He's a head Solidity dev for Ape Swap, and I'm super excited to have you here with me. And we are joined by a biz dev from Ola Barbalut Guru. How you doing today, sirs?
Doing great. I'm excited to share the stage here with our fellow apes.
Yeah, super excited to make an appearance on Ape TV myself as well.
I'm super pumped. Ola is a pretty big part of the Ape Swap ecosystem right now, and I'm super pumped to finally get you guys on here. And you know, you as well, Apetastic. You are a co-founder of Ape Swap, and it's just, this is going to be a great podcast. I can already feel it.
Yeah, let me just say, long time listener, first time caller. Let's do it. Super pumped.
I love that.
That's amazing.
Ola Finance is a lending as service platform that allows anyone to create their own branded lending network at the click of a button. I've been using the service that you guys provide for Ape Swap, and I'm very, very impressed, to say at the least. But if you could you give the average user a breakdown of what exactly Ola does?
Yeah, definitely. So, we're kind of servicing two crowds here. There's the projects, and then there's the users. So for projects like ApeSwap, of course, we're providing lending as a service, which is something really unique in the space. And what that means is we build these white labeled lending networks. So projects like ApeSwap can own their own lending. They can have a lending network that's to their brand under their domain, with the assets that they want listed, configured with the parameters that they want, you guys want. So it's a really unique thing to really own your lending network rather than just be listed on somebody else's. And I guess I'll keep it brief because we're on intro mode here. Switching over to the user side, essentially we're offering a gateway to lending networks across multiple different chains. So from one location, the Ola Finance app page, you can access lending and borrowing of a large variety of tokens across different chains. And something really cool about it is isolated risk model, where a lending network on ApeSwap is going to be secure from some sort of issue occur with like an asset's price. It's isolated to that lending network rather than affecting any of the others. So this allows users to basically interact with the lending network that they feel most comfortable with, and borrow assets from a lending network where they don't think any of the other assets are posing particularly extra risk to their positions.
Yeah, that's wonderful, man. It's great to see stuff like, safety is key with anything in this DeFi space. And it's good to see like services like you guys providing that type of a risk model.
For sure. And I do want to say we talk about should something happen, but of course all of our contracts are audited. We're forked off of some pretty battle tested code, which is a Compound's base code. The occurrence, the likelihood of any sort of hack like this happening, we believe is very low, but we're always thinking about what if scenarios, because it's important to cover your bases and make sure your users are protected.
Yeah, most definitely. That's the main thing, especially in the Ape Swap ecosystem. Like, we're all about our apes being safe. So definitely appreciate that. You have any questions, Tastic?
No, that was a definitely great intro. I like what you said about kind of the compartmentalization of the networks and things like that. Like, I would say one example is the Cream Finance. They had a kind of a, I don't know if I'd call it an exploit, but kind of they added a market basically that kind of was susceptible to price manipulation in a sense, and kind of affected other markets. And there's definitely things that, even though the contracts might be secure, like, it's still up to the managers to make sure that they're doing their due diligence. And yeah, it's nice that it's compartmentalized in that sense, even when Yeah, I don't know. That's about all I think.
No, it's really good. It's really good that you brought that up because, you know, it's a perfect example. I mean, Cream Lending Network is offering this ever-growing list of tokens. So the security, it's a one security model or one security type model. But in reality, it's really only as strong as the weakest token because it only takes that one weakest link for, let's say, the price of it to get manipulated and then add debt in the lending network. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, so I'll reel it back and we can proceed on.
I just wanted to say that like that's definitely something that's on our mind. And if you look at our current lending network, like we started with stables, we started with BNB, ETH, BTC, and then Banana. Like it's straight trusted assets. We're very like we want to move very slowly to add like anything that could be volatile or create bad debt, and we're definitely aware of that. So yeah, we want to continue making changes to the lending network very slowly.
I just love to see the evolution of everything that we're putting together. How did this partnership, how did it come to be? Like, how did you guys come in contact?
Yeah, so I think we reached out to the ApeSwap community via Discord back in maybe like June or July. And ApeSwap had everything we were looking for in like a strong strategic partner. I mean, you guys were one of the biggest players on Binance Smart Chain. You had great liquidity across, you know, a wide variety of tokens for users to, you know, swap, stake, farm with. So really good service offerings. But honestly, like most importantly, you guys had a very active and strong community. And that's like, that cannot be overstated, I think, in the DeFi space and really in the Web3 space as a whole. Because, you know, like a really strong community can attract tons of money, but money can't attract like a genuine community. So, you know, building this like amazing brand like you guys have where your users, your community is very like loyal and very like feeling in touch with the brand. It's a powerful thing. And that was something that we were really impressed by. So yeah, we were like, we gotta connect with these guys and we have to establish something long-term.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
From my perspective, I remember talking initially with Oren and David, and we basically went through a lot of discussions, and I met with them a few times, and they kind of explained their methodologies, and I could just tell, like you said, that they definitely seem very educated and knowledgeable about how the operation of the lending network works. And that was probably my first concern, was like, oh, these guys are offering lending as a service. Like, is it just some other project that's just is doing this just to do it, or do they actually know what they're doing? And I was definitely convinced after meeting with those devs that yes, you guys were well aware of the risk. You guys knew what you were doing. It made me very confident, and that's amazing. So.
Yeah, there's some big brains on the Ola team, and Oren and David, like you said, they're wizards, the both of them. So, you know, like you said, we don't want to just provide another lending network. That's not what we're here for. We're service providers. We're not just deploying the lending network, but we're also maintaining it, constantly improving it, working with you guys to meet your expectations. So it's all about, like I said before, setting something up for the long term.
Yeah, and it's like, it's amazing to have like y'all, the Ola support, the whole team, because like I kind of laugh about this, like ApeSwap, like we add protocols as features. So like us maintaining an entire compound fork, you know, like is just, that's so much overhead and risk and something that I don't think that our team could fully devote to, especially as we're like increasing our features with other protocols in a sense. So it's amazing to have like the expertise of Ola and like monitoring the interest rates, like giving advice on how to make adjustments, and so that's wonderful, like partnership in a sense.
Yeah, most so definitely. Most definitely. Yeah, teamwork makes the dream work. And
Yes, sir.
Like you said about the community, like you're only as strong as your community, because once the community leaves, it's, you know, It's a lot of building, a lot of building, and then you got to rebuild that community. Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Building a product's easy in comparison to building a strong community. I mean, you can pump up your numbers with, like, all of those fake bot accounts you see on, on certain Twitter accounts. But having a true, genuine community, like, that's tough to build. So, yeah.
We love our community.
Yes, we do.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so we're glad to have you guys on board. It's just been amazing so far, and I'm so hyped for what the future holds for Ola and ApeSwap. So let's go ahead and break down the services that you guys offer.
Sure. So of course, we know that Ola is providing lending and borrowing, right? So I guess to break it down, did you want to kind of cover how in depth would you like to go with this?
I would leave that up to Tastic. How long up do you want to go, Tastic?
Maybe we
Want
can
go
start
ahead.
high level and then like we can dive into individual topics as needed.
For sure, for sure. Okay. So what Ola is a peer to pool lending network. Each of our lending networks is operating with this peer to pool model where users are interacting directly with a pool of funds, or as we call it, a money market. And this means that lenders are coming in, they're depositing an asset into a specific money market. So let's say they're depositing bananas into the banana money market. And then borrowers can come along and they can borrow that banana out of that pool of funds. And this is different than, traditional lending or peer-to-peer lending for a number of reasons. One, in the DeFi space, there's no wait times for approvals of loans. Borrowers can take out a loan right away. There's no required repayment schedule. Borrowers can take a loan and not have to pay it back after, let's say, 6 months or 1 year, as long as their position is in good health, which we'll talk about shortly, then they can continue to borrow or continue to hold that borrowed amount. And in addition, the interest rate models are dynamic. So basically, the amount that borrowers are paying and likewise the amount that lenders are receiving for making these loans are being adjusted dynamically and are being determined by the market. So what that means is, let's say there's a popular asset, everybody wants to borrow it. So we say that the market utilization rate is at 100%, meaning all of the banana tokens in that market are also being borrowed. What that means is the interest rate is going to be very high. Borrowers are going to be paying a high interest rate because it's encouraging them to repay their loan, while lenders are going to be receiving that, equally high interest rate, because it's going to attract more lenders to the money market to provide more liquidity. So this is a key difference of how DeFi lending is working compared to, let's say, peer-to-peer lending or traditional lending.
I
Yeah,
would say the
so
other thing is under collateralized loans.
yeah, so that's yeah, that's you hit on an important part. What Ola's doing for our risk management is through the process of over collateralization. And it's important to mention because typically, there's no typically there's like credit checks or risk assessments done in order to take a loan out, because they want to make sure that the borrower is credible, is worthy of a loan. But that makes it really inaccessible for a lot of people who don't meet the criteria that are often like pretty high. But in Ola's lending networks, we're using this over collateralization model, which means that anyone can borrow as long as they put up some amount of collateral to support the amount they want to borrow. So what that means is if I want to borrow, let's say if I want to borrow $70 of an asset, I might have to lend $100 of a different asset. And it means that while I'm lending the $100 and I'm earning interest for the tokens I'm lending, I also have the ability to borrow against it. And it's basically increasing the functionality of your token there. So that's over collateralization in a nutshell.
Amazing. And like, I remember I was talking to the OLA team about the under collateralization. And one thing that's interesting to me about it is like, I feel like, you know, under, wait, I keep saying under collateralization. I need to be saying
yes. Yeah.
But the over collateralization in OLA is that when you have under collateralized loans in traditional finance, like you're basically like leveraging your money and it can cause like more volatile swings. So it's kind of nice that crypto being volatile, like that the loans currently don't like increase the volatility in a sense.
No, exactly. I mean, basically what's happening is, you know, there's liquidity in one of these pools. There's assets sitting in a pool. Someone wants to come along and borrow from that pool. And to do that, they're ultimately putting in more money into either the same asset pool or a different asset pool. So it's kind of self-growing itself in a sense. So that's definitely another plus in addition to the risk management side of over-collateralization.
Nice. And yeah, I always get asked the question, it's like, why would I ever want to take an under-collateralized loan or over-collateralized loan? And, you know, my answer is always like, well, the nice thing about it is you could basically take your HODL stack of ETH or BNB and you could just never sell it and deposit it as collateral. And then you could borrow US dollars or some stable coin. And then basically you keep your HODL stack, but then you're allowed to like, you have this freedom to go do whatever you else want without ever selling it. So it kind of opens up, like, it might not be the perfect example of like loans and like traditional finance, but it definitely is like a really useful tool in DeFi for opening up new possibilities.
No, completely correct. I mean, people, it's important to realize that your collateral isn't just, you know, sitting there as like this thing that is only letting you borrow against it. You know, the collateral itself is being put to work. The collateral itself is earning you this passive income because it's being lent out. You know, another cool thing about OLA Finance that we're doing is like a Rainmaker program, which I just briefly touching on it. It's this incentive distribution mechanism that essentially is distributing rewards to lenders and borrowers across a lending network. Through this, you know, not only could, let's say, a borrower be earning this passive income on the tokens that they're lending, but they could also potentially be earning like a net positive value for the amount they're borrowing as well. So they're borrowing some asset that's they have to pay interest in, but they're earning maybe an even higher interest rate, a positive interest rate via like a banana distribution that's being rained down upon them from the rainmaker. So incentives left and right. It's this collateral that is not just sitting inactive.
Yeah, for anyone who's unaware of what the rainmaker means, it's essentially the form of farming for our lending network, basically, or for the lending network.
I love the name. Yeah, and just like the way you put it, it's like the bananas are being they're raining down.
Yeah. And I know ApeSwap made the power move of increasing the banana emissions to lenders and borrowers in the lending network. So it's really shown a positive effect on the lending network, and I think everyone's basically pretty excited to see those increased bananas.
I just find it super interesting that, like, in this day and age, there's still so many people that haven't discovered any of this. Like, what you know, what we're doing as partners is just insane.
It's like every day I remind myself that we're on the front edge of things and or the front line of things, rather. And I know we'll talk again later on in this episode about some future features we're working on, but we just keep building. I mean, we keep growing.
Now, I myself, I don't really like I use the platform, but I don't really grasp it that, you know, that great. You know, like I was telling you pre-show, I'm a degen at heart, so I'm just doing a bunch of degen things on the side. But do you have any advice for first-time users? Little tips and tricks.
Yeah, definitely. You know, this is one of my personal favorite topics because as we introduce a lot of users to DeFi lending for their first time, it gives us an opportunity to teach. And I like to teach, and I think we also put a heavy emphasis on safety at Ola Finance. So it's really important to us that our that users of the lending network are engaging with it safely and understand what they're doing. So yeah, definitely have some tips. I guess the most important thing you know revolves around the concept of liquidation. So I'll take a moment just to explain what it means to get liquidated, like what is a liquidation. So hopefully some listeners who aren't familiar with this can get some good insight here. So we talked earlier about how over-collateralization allows you to take a borrow position, and that is our model of risk management. We don't look at a credit score, a background check. You know, we just need to make sure that you have enough funds to support the funds you have borrowed, because if let's say you run off with the funds, you never repay the funds, something like this, we know that there's enough collateral money to repay the amount that was borrowed. So that's the safety mechanism. So because tokens are constantly changing in price, the ratio of the amount you have borrowed to the amount that you have as collateral, the amount you're lending, it is constantly changing. So we have a factor that's called the liquidation factor, and it basically sort of it says that, you know, at what point can a liquidation occur, given the value that you have borrowed and the value that you have lent. So putting it to numbers, let's say I'm lending out $100 of Ethereum, and Ethereum has a liquidation factor of 75%. That means that when the ratio between my borrowed position and my lent position is 75, is equal to 75%, I'll get liquidated. So in this case, $100 of Ethereum versus, let's say, $75 of a borrowed any token, a borrowed DC, for example, that's the point of liquidation. And liquidation can occur from two different price movements. You can have the token that you're lending, your collateral token, if that token is falling in value, let's just assume the borrow side is staying stable. If the lend side is falling in value, the collateral token, you're kind of closing that gap. You're edging closer to liquidation. And likewise, on the borrow side, if you borrow a token that's growing in value, the price is going up, effectively the amount that you've borrowed is also going up. So if I borrow 10 banana tokens and the price of banana doubles, I still owe 10 banana tokens. And because it's at a higher price, that's twice the amount that essentially I have borrowed. So it's important to always, once you take a loan, to always kind of manage your position, keep an eye on what you have borrowed, what you have lent. On Ola Finance, we have like a liquidation bar that helps you track this. It's the equivalent of like your health factor. So you want to keep that bar from hitting 100%. And another little tip is to maybe borrow like a stable, or not necessarily borrow a stable coin, but use a stable coin on one side of the position. So if you're lending a stable coin or if you're borrowing a stable coin, that means that, you know, assuming that price is stable, You only have to track the rise or fall of the other one. It's not like you have, a borrowed asset that might be rising in price while your collateral asset is falling in price and you're getting like closed in on. So borrowing a stable coin, it helps for beginners, I think, to keep an eye on their position. So that's kind of what a liquidation is, or rather how a liquidation occurs. And a little tip to prevent it. I guess I could also, do you think I should explain, what does it mean to get liquidated, the actual process?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the users would love, and also maybe touch on like liquidators too.
Definitely. Okay, so we now know why a liquidation might occur, because the ratio of what you have lent and borrowed is at that critical level, we'll call it. But what does it actually mean? So let's go back to that example where I have $100 of Ethereum and I've borrowed $75 of USDC, and the liquidation factor is that 75%. So now we're getting liquidated. Okay, what does that mean? A liquidator is someone who plays an important role in the network. They're basically maintaining the health of the lending network and making sure there's no bad debt created. They're going to come along and they're going to see that you don't have enough collateral to support your borrowed position. And what they'll do is they'll repay some of your borrowed amount in exchange for some of your collateral, plus a little bit of an incentive, a little extra of your collateral, because that's why they do it. So in this case of $100 lent, $75 borrowed, a liquidator can come in, close up to 50% of your position, meaning they would repay, what is that, like $37.5 dollars of your USDC. They would then take $37.5 of your Ethereum, plus whatever Ethereum's liquidation incentive is. So let's say it's a 10% incentive. They're taking an extra $3.75 of your Ethereum, and the rest of your position remains. After that happens, you'll see that you still have $37.5 borrowed, and you now have what the it was like about $40 less on your collateral side. But you still have an open position. And this is nice because, in the case of liquidations, because sometimes it happens, if we're not watching our position, if drastic changes in the market happen, this is crypto, it can happen. But it's not like your whole entire position is shut down and you're losing all of your collateral. It's nice that the close factor, that the amount that the liquidator's closing is only at 50%, it gives you that a little more flexibility there. So that's the process of getting liquidated. That's actually how it works.
And I have another question. Like, if the liquidator pays off 50% of their debt, and then the liquidator takes the incentive, wouldn't that kind of like put them back in the red?
So you're saying the red is in, like, aren't they still eligible for liquidation?
Right, because like basically like 50% of the collateral is moved, but like 51, for example, percent of their no 51% of their collateral is moved, for example, and 50% of their borrows was reduced. So it's almost like the ratio is still there.
So let's put it with some cleaner numbers. I'm sorry
Yeah,
that I used I I'm
that's
sorry that I used like 37 and
good.
a half last time. That was a that was not a
Yeah.
good one. So let's say there's $100, $100 lent and $50 borrowed, and now we're getting liquid. So the liquidator's paying back $25 of the borrowed position. So now we're down to 25 on the borrow side, and on the lend side, they're taking $25 out of the collateral. So now we're down to $75, right? Plus, let's say it's 20%. That's very generous. But let's just say it's 20%. That means they're taking an extra $5. So now it went from 75. Now it's at 70. So we're at 70 and 25. As you can see, the ratio before was 150, it was 50% that you're getting liquidated at. And now you're at $75 and, or I'm sorry, $70 lent, $25 borrowed. So you're basically put back in the green. You're now safe mm-hmm. again. The liquidator did his job. There's no bad debt. You're still in a healthy green position because you're at $70 lent, $25 borrowed. That's under the 50% hypothetical liquidation limit.
That makes sense. So it's all the difference in like the collateral factor in a sense, basically. Isn't like...
Yeah, exactly. And it all comes down to the numbers.
Thanks for the explanation.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's super interesting. You know, just me using it. I didn't put too much money into it because, like I said before, I don't really know how to use it. But after hearing this, man, I'm gonna be going at it.
Yeah, we hope to make, you know, the lending network as like user friendly as possible. And I know, like, to that extent, we worked with you guys to build like a tutorial modal that we launched. So, you know, there's a lot of things we're doing and shows like this to teach people and make sure that people are understanding what they're doing. We want it to be user friendly. We want to bring in as many apes as possible. We want this to be a part of the DGEN strategy, which I think we'll soon talk about some advanced strategies that you can use with this. And it's for the apes.
It's for the apes, man. And, you know, have you guys been on Ape Labs?
Oh, no, I have not. I'd love to hear
that. That might be a good idea because they're our educational platform.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Yeah, for sure.
That would be amazing. Like, teach people how to lend. Yeah, I mean, I could get in contact. I mean, Tastic and I talk to the president of Ape Labs all the time. So if you guys are interested in leading a class on like teaching other apes how to lend, that'd be great.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, all about education. So the more, the bigger the platform, like the more voices to be heard and the more people to be reached, we're all for it.
Amazing. Now, I've noticed in your docs that you have some advanced strategies. Do you want to go over some of those?
The part that everyone's been waiting for. Yeah. So I guess we've hinted at it a couple times now and about how the lending network can be used to create passive income and how it can be used to facilitate the DGEN strategy a little bit. So for all the DGENs, this is for you. Let's just always keep in mind that lovely lesson on liquidation we just went through, because safety first always. So with that, couple cool strategies you can do. So one is, you know, leveraging your long position. So let's say there's an asset you're particularly bullish about and you really believe in it. So what you can do is you can lend it and therefore use it as collateral. So while it's generating some passive income there, you can borrow against it. Let's say you borrow USDC against your Ethereum. Now you can use that borrowed USDC to buy more Ethereum. And just like that, you've leveraged your long position. You now acquired more Ethereum, and you have a small borrowed position on USDC, let's say. But as the price of Ethereum rises, should it rise, then you can basically sell some of that Ethereum at a profit. Use the profit to pay back the borrowed USDC. And of course, the net is the remainder. The net is gain. So that's the concept of like leveraging your long. And then another connected strategy is the idea of cycling this. So I'm sure you've already probably thought about the fact that, wait a minute, if I deposit my Ethereum that I just purchased back into the lending network, that's effectively increasing my amount of collateral. So now I could borrow even more USDC. So that's the idea of cycling it. So you borrow more USDC, you buy more Ethereum, you deposit the Ethereum. You use that to borrow more USDC and so on and so forth. So you can, you know, you can 1x, 3x, 5x, you can basically increase your exposure to that asset that you're very bullish on. And that's another advanced strategy. And you know, the third one, which we don't see as much, but it's involving shorting a position, and that's essentially the opposite, where you're depositing, let's say USDC, the stable coin, as collateral. You're borrowing a token against it. So let's say 10 Bitcoins. Wow, I wish I could borrow 10 Bitcoins. I wish I had that much collateral. But let's just say you're borrowing 10 Bitcoins, and the price of Bitcoin, you're hoping, is going to fall. So if the price of Bitcoin is falling, then what you can do is you can take the 10 Bitcoins you borrowed. You can sell it at the time that you borrowed it. So now it's basically, it's no longer Bitcoin. It's USDC, but you still owe those 10 Bitcoins that you borrowed. So now as the price of Bitcoin starts to fall, and fall and fall and fall, you can buy back in at a lower point those same 10 Bitcoins and repay the loan to the lending network, repay that borrowed amount. And now again, the net difference is gain, is profit for you. So that's like how you can short a token. You can borrow that token, sell it, and then hopefully buy it back at a lower price to repay your borrowed position. The opposite of being long on an asset, we have the bear scenario. So those are a couple of advanced strategies. I'll let the users come up with their own form of those, what they like best. I'm typically not pushing anyone towards them, but I'm also not someone to say, you know, don't do those. You know, ultimately, and this is one of the beautiful things about DeFi, is the power is in the hands of the user. The best we can do is provide proper education, provide a safe platform like the ApeSwap lending network to operate on. But ultimately, you know, it's up to the users to use it as they please. We just give the power.
It's just, I love hearing this, man. And I love hearing you say that you'll leave it to the users to like come up with their own, and I'm sure you guys love seeing them as well.
Yeah, like we can leave the gatekeeping of tools to traditional finance. We're just here to facilitate and collaborate and you know, build something really cool for people to enjoy.
It's just amazing, man. Do you have any advanced strategies, Tastic?
Oh yeah, but it goes even deeper. It goes like smart contracts, and OLAS, yeah, I'm sure we're, I don't know if we're going to talk about any new features, but there's a lot in the pipeline.
Actually, Tastic's using like flash loans to perform liquidations behind the scenes. He's keeping the health of the network himself.
I did want to say like earlier, you were talking about how you were kind of intimidated by the lending network, and like I would almost say that on the opposite side of advanced strategies is like the basic strategy, where like maybe you want to get your feet dirty in the in the lending network, but like you don't necessarily want to go through all the borrows, but you could do something as simple as just supplying assets to it and earning an interest on it. So you at least get the ability to like play around with the lending network. You don't have to worry about getting liquidated. You can just deposit collateral, earn an interest, and then you're getting your first step into using the lending network. And then from there, you can probably like play around from there. But
yeah. You just dive in and just do what you know. And yeah, it was just like DeFi as a whole. Like, I didn't know what I was doing when I found ApeSwap. I had no clue.
No, the best way to learn is through the hands-on, yeah, like using the actual product. And props to you, ApeTastic, for bringing it back to the fundamental uses of it, because that's ultimately the, you know, those are the building blocks. That's what we're here to provide. And I think I've talked a lot over this episode about the idea of like collateralizing your position, meaning like using it as collateral to borrow against, but it's so true. You don't have to borrow. It's very simple just to provide liquidity, just to lend. That's it. And earn those juicy APYs. So
And one thing that I love about like lending or just I guess farming or any other of the new of the latest like DeFi and you know features that have been the protocols that I made is that like when I first got into crypto, it was just like buy your crypto to hold it and appreciate its value. But like mm-hmm. with these tools, it's like the first time where you can actually grow your stack horizontally and actually get more of it without even having to rely on the price increase, which is amazing.
Yeah, no, me as well. That was the realization of, okay, I have this wallet with this diverse number of tokens in it, but now what can I do with it? Having that realization was such a great moment of like, there's a whole environment, there's a whole app ecosystem that like most of the world isn't even aware exists, mm-hmm. like that's running parallel to the, you know, to the normal app, on Samsung or Apple or whatever. You have this dApp ecosystem that's just booming and people don't even know about it. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the governments know about it, but they're scared.
That's for sure.
They're shaking in their boots. Tastic. Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. Tastic brought up like any new features or anything coming out. And that is actually the next question. So what do users have to look forward to from Ola in 2022?
Sweet. Yeah, I love that question. So the future vision. So, you know, we have a lot of exciting products and features that we've been building. And we've been working really closely with the apes on some pretty cool stuff. So first and foremost is the boosted stable swap pools that we're building. So so what exactly is that? You might understand the concept of a stable swap pool on the ape swap side, on the AMM side. It's essentially a way to trade from one stable coin to another, right? But what's happening in the background is this strategy that's making the funds used in this pool highly capital efficient by employing them also in the lending network. So what that means is liquidity providers on the state into the stable swap pool are not only earning the traditional swap fees, but those tokens are also being utilized on the lend side of the lending network. So they're also earning lending fees in addition. And this is also boosting liquidity in the lending network, allowing more people to borrow from these stable coins. It's putting those assets that might otherwise be sitting idle in the AMM to use. So that's a really cool feature we've been working closely with ApeSwap on, and we're super excited to get this out there.
I'm super, super, super excited.
Yeah,
I know. I know. ApeTastic, you've been hands on. You and David have been late night in the laboratory, just cooking it up. So it's going to be cool. Stay tuned.
It's a huge, huge feature for at least for the ApeSwap side. Like for one, like we currently don't have like an efficient stable swap because all of our stable pools are UniV2. But this upgrade will like involve an actual stable swap. So like you have efficient swap stable swaps on top of getting to have increased TVL on the lending network on top of like boosted APRs. Like it's just like a wet dream of DeFi.
And stable coins are like the golden goose. Mm-hmm. You can't have enough liquidity in stables. So the fact that we can take the stables on the ApeSwap side on the AMM side and apply them to the lending network as well, and it's like it's a double whammy. It's really killing two birds with one stone.
It's amazing. Yeah, stables are definitely like a really key like tool to DeFi, and like having that extra stable liquidity in the lending network is just amazing. It just kind of creates like this like waterfall effect. Like stable coin APRs go down, people want to borrow more, they have to deposit collateral. Like it's awesome.
yeah, it's the goal of this product is the same as the goal of, you know, ApeSwap and Ola Finance. We're all about aligning interests, you know, finding areas that we can line up, make more efficient, and that's exactly what we're doing here. So that's the pools. That's the feature number one. Feature number two we're working on is stakeable asset markets within the lending network. So what that means is basically the lending network will support tokens that are also used in a traditional staking sense, meaning that on the lend side of the lending network, meaning that users who have, let's say, some random governance token, call it token, that is going to get staked in the protocol's within the protocol's governance system to produce, and there's of course APYs associated with that. So now, instead of going directly to stake it into in with the protocol, they can put it on the lending network, earn interest on it, or sorry, rather use it as collateral to borrow against, and at the same time still earn the rewards from staking it. So another kind of efficiency hack, two birds with one stone thing here. So that's the stakeable asset markets.
I'm also super excited about those.
Yeah, it sounds super interesting. I can't wait.
Long story,
Efficiency, baby. Yeah,
yeah.
go ahead.
I was gonna say, long story short, imagine that you're already staked in the banana pool right now, but you could do the same thing and get the same returns on Olob, but you can still borrow against it. It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't use that example. That was like the perfect example. I'm out here talking about generic token.
No, I mean it's cool. I mean it's not, obviously it doesn't apply. I like that you brought up generic token because it's not just a limit to the banana pool, but people might be able to do it, to understand
But we know those bananas
it.
are intense. So
Oh
this
yeah,
is for them.
it's for them.
So that's feature number two, and then feature number three is one click leverage. So we talked about advanced strategies and how you can deposit collateral, borrow against it, and cycle it back in. But with one click leverage, essentially you can acquire that same 1x, 3x, 5x, whatever exposure to a token at the single click of a button. So it all done in one transaction. Meaning you could put in $5,000 into the lend side and borrow $10,000 against it, where typically that doesn't work because it requires the over collateralization. But in this case, I won't dive in too technical on how it's functioning, but it's essentially using flash loans to complete it all in one transaction. You're borrowing 10,000 against the 5,000. But after the transaction is complete, you have really $15,000 in the collateral side, and you can take out the $10,000. You can put it back in on the lend side, and now you have essentially $15,000 on the lend side, and you have only the 10K still borrowed, so you're still in the green. So the one click leverage will be a huge function for us.
That's
Yeah.
also amazing. I was When you were talking about the advanced strategy earlier, I was actually going to ask you guys if you guys were thinking about doing something like that.
Yeah, no, it's been in the pipelines for a little bit now, and now we're getting around to putting it up on top priority. So as things typically go here, we get really busy, and there's always new features and new changes to work on. So, but we're happy that we're getting around to this. So, so that'll definitely make the degen strategy a lot easier and more efficient for those looking to do
Nice. You guys are just cooking up all this stuff and
it. And it's not alone, we do it in, with our partners, like for example those boosted stable swap pools that we had talked about. I mean, it was if it wasn't for ApeSwap, we might not even have them. So we're working with our partners to they tell us kind of what they need, what they want, and we find a way to do it. That's what we're here for. We're here to support.
Amazing, man.
Amazing. I want to say like one obvious example of support would be the user interface for ApeSwap Lending Network. We definitely went back and forth with Ola a ton to get it match the ApeSwap brand, branding, and kind of try to match our site better. And then they, came back and forth with us and made all the updates. We hand them like pages full of like ideas and recommendations, and it was like no problem, no questions asked, like we're gonna get it done. So I want to say that was an amazing experience for our team as well.
Yeah, it's you guys have a very like a very fine eye for detail, and it's impressive. It's needed. Like when you grow as big as ApeSwap has, sometimes things slip through the cracks. But you guys catch things, like you guys catch everything, and it's great. It makes sense why you've grown so big.
Awesome.
Yeah,
definitely detail oriented. Apes some more than others, but yeah.
Yeah, I remember testing it. Yeah, it was fun, man. I love testing stuff like that, and you know, just doing the design stuff, and it was an amazing experience.
Oh yeah, it's fun.
Is there any more on the list for the upcoming features?
For feature wise, you know, we'll keep it at that. You know, we're still working on a few other things, but we'll tuck it away for now. We don't want to get too ahead of ourselves.
Can't give away too much at once,
right?
Yeah, exactly. we got to tease it out slowly here.
You dropped some nuclear bombs on us just now.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, but big things coming. And of course, in addition to those features, you know, Ola Finances is always growing, always bringing on new partners. We only hope that they're as good as ApeSwap is. So yeah, excited for the future.
Yeah, I'm super excited. You wanna go ahead and plug your guys' socials?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the favorite part. Twitter, we're at Ola Finance, Ola_finance. It's also the best way to join our Telegram and our Discord. Otherwise, you can just search it in Telegram. I'm sure there's like a bunch of fake Ola Finance accounts because, you know, these spammers are vicious. But just go to the Twitter at Ola_finance. You can find us there. Twitter, Telegram, Discord, all of it. Yeah, hope to see you guys in the community, and we're happy to answer any questions and love welcoming new members.
Most definitely. I do YouTube videos of this, of all these podcasts, so I'll grab all the links too and post those in the description.
Oh, that's perfect. That's awesome. Thank you.
Man, it's been a freaking delight having you guys on this podcast. It's been super informative.
Man, time's over already. Yeah, time flew.
Yeah, you're definitely able to explain things really well, Guru. So thanks for that.
Thank you, and thanks for coming on and co-hosting, ApeTastic. That was awesome, and Be Ridiculous, amazing moderation. This has been good. You're real pros, I can tell. I hope to come on again, and we can you know, do this again sometime. This was fun.
Oh, yeah, man. Most definitely.
Can you imagine what the next Ola podcast would be like?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. The amount of change between now and then, it's going to be, woo. Yeah. Oh, there's going to be a whole new pages to cover. Wow.
For sure.
Well, definitely, man. I hope you guys have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem.
Bye, guys.
All right, see you later.
Bye. Take care, B. See you, fantastic.
I agree.